Hello there, I'm Sean Alsop of Student Pride, and today I'm joined by the Radio 1 legend, the outspoken gay activist, and professional crab impersonator. Hello, Mr. Scott Mills.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great, thank you so much for coming on. Reality doesn't seem normal at the moment, but you've done us great honour to me, the university, and Student Pride. Thank you very much.
No worries.
I'm going to start from the start. So, Scott, when did you know you were gay?
For me, it was very easy, and I know for a lot of people who are the same age as I was then, it's not as easy. I would probably say I knew from about, 11, 12, but didn't really do anything about it. It was just kind of there. And then I was quite lucky in the fact that I got started in radio when I was 15, 16, and the radio station where I'd started to work had a lot of gay people working there. So actually, it was very easy for me to be myself. I didn't really struggle with that at all. Obviously, I had to do the chat with mum and dad, which is never easy, but they kind of already guessed. So I always feel quite blessed that for me, it was a very straightforward process. And I know a lot of people really do have a struggle with it, but I'm not one of those people.
And you said about Stephen Gately, how that hit all the front pages, and Sam Smith, when he came out, did anyone care? Did anyone say anything
exactly.
To the Grammys, the Brits? No.
It's surprising how things have changed, probably even in the last 10 years, where, I can't really remember, but probably Stephen came out, I would say, early 2000s, and it was a massive thing. But then you have, like, Nick Grimshaw from Radio 1 and Sam Smith, as you just said. If they were the stars 10, 15 years ago, I think it would have been a very different story. But now everyone just goes, okay then. And that is exactly where it needs to get to.
I mean, Freddie Everett had to hide it very well, had to marry a wife. I mean, Grimshaw with a wife, that'd be a funny Chuckle
imagine.
Brothers double act.
It really would. But I'm quite, in a way, it's good. I mean, it's really good that this has happened, because it shouldn't be front page news that because of someone's sexuality. And actually, I think celebrities still worry about it. And I think there are sections of people in the public eye that worry about it more still, like people in sport. But I think people are getting less and less worried about it. And it's not been hard for Grimmy. It's certainly not been hard for Sam Smith. And as you can see, it really doesn't affect their career.
So let's move forward now to 2011. You're a national household name. You're on Radio 1, a good slot. And you decided to make a show called World's Worst Place to Be Gay. Mm. And you went to Uganda. Yeah. Why did you go there? Out of all the places to go.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because I was having general meetings at the time with BBC Three. And there's a guy called Danny Cohen who is now, like, really in charge at the BBC. He's head of BBC One. But at the time, he was head of BBC Three, and it was his last thing that he commissioned to go on the air on that before he left the channel. And I just went in for a meeting with him. He told me about this program they were thinking of making in Uganda. And the reason they chose Uganda, I mean, obviously Africa has a lot of homophobia, a lot, in most of it. But in Uganda, they were about to put these, or they wanted to put these laws in place where it would be illegal to be gay if you knew someone, even if it was a relative, like, for instance, your son or daughter, if you knew them to be gay and you didn't report it to the police, then you would also be arrested. It's horrendous stories of, like, people being hacked to death in their own homes because of being gay. And what really caught the program maker's eye at the time was that there was a newspaper, kind of like a well-read newspaper, something equivalent to the Sun or Mirror would be here. And they printed headlines saying, I think the headline was something like, 100 homos pictured. And what they did was they printed the pictures of 100 people, which is really, I mean, here it just wouldn't be allowed. But printed the pictures like they were paedophiles or rapists, pictures of their name, their photo, their name, and where they lived. So these people, in what is already a very homophobic country, were kind of singled out, and because of that in the newspaper, there were many people who were attacked, people that couldn't walk down the street anymore because it had been in the newspaper, which everyone, a paper which everyone reads. And to be honest, before I was made aware of this show, I had no idea this was going on in Uganda, like most people. So I thought, actually, it would be an interesting thing to go and cover. I'm glad that we filmed that ridiculous chicken incident where they were going to make me, if you didn't see it, they were trying to cure me of being gay by hitting me with some chickens. What they didn't show at the time, and it was quite a nice bit of light relief in that show because it was so depressing and so horrible, you know, just all these stories. What they didn't show on the TV was we'd spoke to the chicken guys earlier and they were saying, if you really want to be cured and like, it will definitely work, we have to take you to the sacred mountain or something, and then you, something about a cow. They didn't hit me with a cow or whatever, but it was something like I had to go up, make friends with this cow up this mountain, and then I'd be cured. And then the cow, I would inherit the kind of straight genes of the cow, and the cow would become gay. But it took a week, and we were only there for 3 days, so couldn't do it. Otherwise, I could be speaking to you now as a straight man, and the cow would be gay on a hill in Uganda somewhere.
I love the fact that was taken in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, I just found it. Like, it was really hard not to laugh because they were so serious about it. And I was like, what? So the gayness of me rubs off on the cow.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, and the cow makes me straight. I couldn't really get my head around it, but apparently it would have taken a week.
And you said at the end of Uganda, it made you really appreciate the freedom we have in Britain. Mm. So an event like Student Pride or any event that celebrates
absolutely
equality,
yeah,
when you go there, how much more do you appreciate events like it?
I mean, it really did. I mean, it was evident at the end of the programme. It changed my perception on lots of things because actually, in this country, we kind of, it's very easy because you've not seen another side to it. It's very easy to take for granted what we have. And as I was saying earlier, it's often, I know there are exceptions, it's often not hard to come out. It's very easy here to be accepted and you're not going to go to jail or be killed because of it. So when you come back and you see events like this happening and, you know, everyone is in a good place with it and you're not persecuted for it and it's just another thing about your life, not a defining thing, just happen to be gay, then that's a great place to be.
There's a listener, 13-year-old boy, he's having these thoughts. He's very insecure. All his friends are going to pick on him. He's scared of his parents now. He hates himself. He's listening to your show. He's thinking to Scott Mills. What would Scott Mills say to me if he understood my situation? What would you say to all the listeners who are having a hard time?
I think, for me, the easiest thing to do, and it's not easy, I think generally it's never going to be as bad as you think it's going to be. You build it up in your head, in my experience, of everyone's going to disown me, everyone's going to hate me. And I do know people that have been through a situation where, you know, their friends have been weird with them because of it. And as I said, that wasn't my situation. But I think that if you can tell someone, and there probably is someone that you think, even if you think it's not your parents or it's not your friends at school, there will be someone that you can maybe tell and get it out there too. If not, then there are loads of organizations where you can speak to someone about it. And I know that something like the LGBT Lesbian and Gay Switchboard, which I'm about to become an ambassador for, they take thousands of calls every day from people who just need to have a chat about it and then advise you on the best thing to do. So I think more than when I was that age, there are so many opportunities now to make it easier for you and for you to not be afraid. So if you really don't feel that you can talk to anyone in your friend group or a relative, if it was 13-year-old me, I would probably make use of those services. And there's so much information online. We do a lot of Radio 1 about this as well.